Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I have my voice this week, so those of you that were on last week, I hope you bared through it. And of all time, to lose a voice. I literally, last week we were talking about the Green Sahara Project with Dr. Steyer and James B. Fowler, and we are privileged to have them back again this week. We are going to be discussing the economic side. We're going to go touch on what we discussed last week and then go over into the economic side. And I'll tell you, I have to say, when I was on last week, and the show must go on when you're not feeling well, and we did it. And when I got off the show, I just, the work that Mr. Fowler and Dr. Steyer have done, we're talking years and years, have brought them to this place of starting the Sahara Project. The Green Sahara Project, and you can also find that on greensaharaproject.org. The work that's been done and the amazing change and what we can do collectively together just blew me away. You know, those of you listening that are in the real estate world, you know, we deal with buyers, sellers, people all over, helping, making their dreams come true, helping with life changes, which is what we believe in, which is part of our, you know, self-help projects we do with the programs. I have to tell you, listening last week, you go, wow, this is something that helps societies, it helps economically, it helps life, it preserves what they're doing, preserves our planet Earth, and can help for years and years and years to come without, I don't want to say little effort, because there's tons of effort being put in this, but collectively it can be done, and it makes so much sense. I just have to tell you, sometimes you go, wow, this is what we all need to be doing. You know, we live our day-to-day lives, and sometimes we forget or get off track to these subjects. So last week, Dr. Steyer and James Fowler were on explaining the dangers and what can be done to protect our environment, using our deserts and excess waters to lower our CO2 levels, methane and acids that are over-accumulating in our oceans. Today, they're going to go back through that and then explain also the economic side of the Green Sahara Project and why this should be a no-brainer to implement on all sides, whether political, any side we can look at. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome James B. Fowler and Dr. Joseph Steyer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Natalie.
Thank you, too, for coming on. I was just blown away last week, and I know I'm going to be blown away now. It's just thank you for what you all have done. And as usual, we wish we always had more than an hour to go over this. So tell us what brought you to this, like we've talked about, and then covering some problems we're having, the major problems with the desert evacuation, et cetera. Let you go into it.
Okay, I guess I'll go first there. Desertification is a major risk that threatens, you know, arid and semi-arid regions throughout the globe. Continued population growth, while natural areas of forests and areas that are being rapidly urbanized are creating problems with our natural biospheres and all these needs that are arising. To put it in layman terms, we're kind of falling behind in the biomass, which is a land sink need to sequester or take up CO2 naturally. This is out of balance now. It's an imbalance that is causing more deserts to rise up. Northwest United States is now losing more and more water from the mountainous areas. In April of last year, it reported 30% less snowfall. So this is a trend going on in Northwest United States. Climate changes are happening all around the planet. So what we're going to do is create another climate balancer other than the ocean, which the deforestation will be forestation. We will start building these CO2 sequestration points, which are called trees in other terms.
Wow, right.
These trees being planted, and if you plant enough of them, you get a forest. And if you have them growing long enough, they become primal forests. And there's certain periods to a forest that become significant for animals and for everything else that lives on this planet. The soils and everything benefit from trees. So this is what we're doing. We're taking a water source and putting it into the desert, and we're going to irrigate the desert, and we're going to be able to grow trees there. You put the water there, you get life there. That's basically what we're doing.
And we will use for this fantastic project and very complex project several very important sources, water sources, because the central lake of Africa has been almost dried out. Actually, the Chad Lake lost its water capacity in the past 40 years. It lost approximately 80% of its water capacity. So we've been talking with James, how could we balance this loss, and how could we actually reestablish this very important heat accumulator. And the upper part of the Congo River is very suitable for special geoengineering work, as well as some other elements James has been working on. So with a special solution where we are starting to make special quadrats from practically the Atlantic Ocean toward the Chad Lake, we are developing a natural forest. And I should emphasize something. This project is a self-supporting project. I did analysis on the Great Green Wall Initiative, which was created somewhere in the late 80s. And then in 2005, the former Nigerian president, Obasanjo, organized 11 countries together to create to support the Great Green Wall Initiative. But the program has never been self-supporting, so we would like to avoid this problem with the Green Sahara Initiative.
How much funding is needed, probably? I mean, I know that's a huge question, but...
Pipeline... Go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you so much. I just want to say that we need two different axes to be handled. One, those
okay.
geoengineering works, which should be done once and just support the program. These are, James will speak about, around $10 to $20 billion. But there is another approach also when we are just creating those quadrats, which are so-called self-supporting quadrats on 25 square kilometer land, and they are just producing not only the wood, but also the other most important nutrition elements or feedstock for animals. So this is a little bit cheaper part, and we can start step by step. But I would like to ask James to explain how important it is to make the huge geoengineering work to support with sufficiently enough water this whole project.
Okay. A pipeline from Greenland is going to be incorporated with a cofferdam, a movable cofferdam. I'm actually designing this, and it will be the first ever type installation for when the winter comes. We'll be able to move it out of the way easily and have the connection ready for the spring when it starts to thaw and everything starts to flowing. And this pipeline is going to be 3-foot diameter. It's going to run from Greenland all the way to the Northwest African aquifers. The installation will allow for the filling of the aquifers. One good thing about the aquifers, they're all conjoined. That means they're together. You fill one, you fill them all. The entire desert of Sahara Northwest would benefit from this one pipeline. We're estimating 7 trillion gallons of water will flow the first season, and plenty enough water to create reservoirs, lakes, streams, and all these natural bodies that will come when the aquifers overflow, bringing the water to the surface, not having to drill down to the water, but actually bringing the water to the surface. Old, ancient springs will come back to life. All these things that have been mapped out, the aquifers and all, will all come back to life. It will. You bring the water, you're going to bring life. So,
wow.
And then there's...
That's from the Antarctic?
That's going to be from Greenland.
Greenland, okay.
Yes, it's
yeah.
an island.
Allow me... James,
right. No, I
allow
know what
me
it,
to
just,
add
I'm
something.
Okay.
Natalie, please allow me to add something to this very important idea. Actually, the fossil water stocks of the Green Sahara have almost entirely been exhausted or utilized. First, in the late 80s, the former Libyan regime leader, Gaddafi, created the so-called Great Man River, Great Man-Made River, which consisted of two pipes of 8 meter dia and conducted the Sahara water, Sahara fossil water stock from the Niger border to the two main Libyan cities. And actually, they did tremendous mistakes, errors, and lost a huge quantity of this water stock. The other is actually what we are doing in almost all African countries is that we are using those regular stocks up to 300 meters. And with conventional technologies, these are very, very, very difficultly obtainable. So I would say that we have a huge necessity to get proper sources. And when we are speaking about the Upper Congo, we should mention that the Upper Congo part, which is in the jungle area, with relative good water quantities and especially good water quality, it could be channeled through tunnels to Chad, and in between there is a possibility to help 3-4 other countries. Beside starting to revitalize the Chad Lake. But it's not enough. So this is why we say that with the Green Sahara Project, we will drive also the natural and the artificial rain as well as toward the Chad Lake.
Brilliant. Mr. Fuller, I want to ask, last week you were mentioning about Antarctic and all that wasted water, you know, the water that's going down. Will that play into it in the other areas, or how does that work? I don't want to sidetrack where you guys are going. I'm just asking as a layperson in the general. You had mentioned about Antarctic showing signs of collapse with the warmer, you know, waters, and I thought that would kind of tie in with using some of that or what? Not? No?
No. This the Antarctic is the western edges of the Antarctic are collapsing from underneath, even in the winter. The thawing is happening from below. The warm sea temperature from the Pacific has inundated into the Antarctic subcontinent, which the ice underneath begins to melt from the warm waters entering. So that's what's happening down there. The east coast of Antarctica is still kind of stable, but there's problems there too. But that's what that was for the Antarctic.
Okay, so I just wanted, sorry to digress. Oh, go ahead. Great, okay.
So, if we could hook up several hundred tugs, maybe, for that ice that just broke off down there, a 2,200 square mile piece of ice, you know, that's
really?
A lot of ice to go to. But, I mean, it's a huge amount of ice, but it's like the size of Delaware. And that cracked off in the wintertime. So there's affirmation there of what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. Okay, so back to the tunnels, and when you were talking about the revitalization and it's amazing. So there's so many countries to be involved with this.
There's the northern nations, you know, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, West Sahara, Chad, Egypt. All of them could be players in this, and you know, we've got the solution. We have the solution. It's just the benefits have to outweigh the cost. And we believe we've done that with the benefits, which we're fixing to talk about here. I'll let Joseph start with that and go into the rest of what I have.
Well, when we are counting the countries who should participate or could participate, we should mention the Great Green Wall Initiative, because in that, actually, 11 African countries are cooperating and they formed the Great Green Wall Initiative. Just to build a special belt, a green belt. But as I have already underlined, it's not self-supporting. So actually the Sahara and the desertification itself in the participating countries are taking off approximately 50-60 kilometers toward the Guinea Gulf, toward the south. So we have to act very, very actively, very, very quickly, otherwise we lose the whole Guinea Gulf area, which is currently a water stock area for the Niger River and also for the Senegal. Those are the most important big rivers of Western and Central Africa. So this is why our initiative, the Green Sahara Initiative, is so important.
And the analysis for our funders would be their ability to understand, and we can communicate to them and cooperate, you know, a return value, values verified through indicators like model data, the science collection. We have to believe in our science and
exactly.
Believe that our planet is not acting correctly. It's out of balance. The deforestation has caused a lot of that imbalance. Of course, the engine and the exhaust from the engines, they do add to some of that CO2 problem. But I think the biggest contributor is the loss of forests. And what we're going to do is restore those forests. And the value indicated there would be how much value. There's social value, there's business and corporate value being created. We'll be on the order of 3 to 1. For every dollar, we get a return of $3. That's a low estimate, actually. And I'm using low estimate because we can actually increase those values as we go along with the innovation that we produce. We've already got some innovation and methodology in place, but we're still building on those technologies. So added value would come over time. Supply chain.
Let me add something very important. This 1-to-3 ratio is a direct product of this special initiative. But as we mentioned already last time, we are working on a very, very special triple win solution where everybody's who's participating in this huge deal is winning. And can you imagine something? The forest itself is cooling down the area and just mitigating the world climate, because we could not stop climate at the borders. No. Last time we even speak about Moroccan problems, Morocco's problems, when the rain which should fall here is going toward Europe, and perhaps you heard about and our listener also heard about Italy, where we have enormous inundation actually, because the rain which should have fallen here in Morocco now is erosing Italy. So if we could create those forests with very good density, in that case the extremities could be mitigated, and then the insurance companies and all the other institutions certainly would win. The whole society, the whole earth will win with such a solution, and this what we should make it clear for all the participants.
You know, it's just amazing to me. Just for people listening, and because we went over it last week, the differences, tell us the differences in the massive amounts of forest we've lost just over, what, the last 40, 60 years, and also the levels of CO2 that is just becoming in harm's way as far as how long our planet can withstand this.
Well, as you know, our oceans are uptaking a huge amount of CO2 to make up for the lost forest. It's a no-brainer to understand that we have to increase the biomass to the land mass mm-hmm. so that we have a larger CO2 sequestration to relieve the ocean of its burden right now. The exact amount of CO2 diffusing into the oceans, we don't even have that number. So we're kind of like blind right there. But we can guess.
Let me mention the just a direct consequence. In Australia, the Great Coral Reef actually is in danger because the corals are enormously sensitive on this dilution James been mentioning. So all those who like and wants to support and save the nature would now join our proposition, the World Alliance for Climate, just to do something concrete and make a forest which is a multifunctional solution. So we are not proposing just forest for wood, but we are proposing reforestation for multi-purpose solution. And actually, I did a calculation on the advantages, on the value-added chain of Polonia we are to plant in some parts of the desert. And we have 26 profit range we've calculated. Last time perhaps I mentioned that beside the high-quality wood, which is well known in the United States also, you have Polonia elongata, for example, in million-hectare plantations. But, of course, in Morocco, which is enormously important against...
But that type of tree, though, is very profitable, right? Because they can cut it down and then, I mean, it's to be able to reuse when we're talking about the economic value. And I wanted to, on the CO2 levels, you had said, Dr. That was like over, Mr. Fowler, about over 400, where we're like above, too high or something. Remember, there was something.
CO2 saturation?
Yes. And that we're definitely.
We've been above 400 parts per million for the last 3 to 4 years. And it's steady going up. It's not stabilizing. So,
and
we know
that's dangerous. I'm just mentioning. Okay, for lay people, you know, to go in and to mention that you know, this is so serious. What's going on? This isn't just, you know, some people take it lightly, and I think it's because they're not aware, is what it is.
Right.
So okay.
That's
why I wanted to just kind of digest.
The timeline for mitigation is now. Before we have to face the real hard decisions of doing something with the atmosphere. We wouldn't want to have to do like sulfur dioxide seeding the atmosphere or something. That's just crazy stuff. When we have all these other opportunities to stand upon and proven methodology of irrigating a desert and making it green is totally possible and at very little expense, really, as a world commodity grows in CO2, because CO2 is going up in the atmosphere, we'll use it as a fertilizer, and that's a value right there. I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah.
I
didn't want to digress at all. I want to let you guys roll. I just wanted to mention, because the two biggies I got, you know, with the forestation, and our forests are just depleted by massive amounts in the last 30, 40 years, and then to see the CO2 going up, I mean, this is very serious, and that's why I wanted to mention the amounts. It's not something we can just say, let's just put it off for 50 years and then think about it, and this is so brilliant. So that's I'll go back to where you are, where you were, Dr. Sterrier.
Well, I'm trying to follow the deforestation all over the world. I'm in very good connection with Nobel Prize laureate Professor Ninh in Vietnam, and he's conducting research in the Mekong Delta, where they've got also a very huge problem losing the forest, the tropical forest. So he's also supporting our plan, and this is why I succeeded already two times in the past 3 years to call up the Sahara Scientist Summits in Budapest in Hungary and collect those scientists who are ready to support this very complex idea. We've been now talking with James. And there is one phenomenon we have to speak beside the others, is the charcoal utilization or the coal utilization just to help the reforestation and the stabilization of the Sahara soil. So we have plenty to do in this sense, and I think really we have to collect the scientists and rely on the science, mm-hmm. as James underlined several times.
I think this is Natalie Malinick on Realty Universal, and we have Dr. Steyer and James, Dr. Joseph Steyer and James B. Fowler on with us discussing GreenSaharaProject.org, which you can find more information on. The Green Sahara Project is, they founded it, and it's amazing how this can save our planet.
And let me just continue with the value. The people are listening, the value of this planetary project is it's all a natural planetary project. It's a huge project, but it's absolutely doable. And the value that we would verify, say, through indicators like our models and science collection, model, track, collect, sort the data so that everybody can watch and see the progress as we go forward. The people who have a picture in their minds of what we can do, I think it will change the minds of many, many others who will get to understand the rudiments or the base of our principal idea and vision. Presenting environmental, social, and economic value is what humans pretty much are all about. And we create that for our stakeholders. You know, that's about all of it. You know, I mean, the social interaction, I mean, even recreation will be brought to the forefront for this project, because you will be making lakes, reservoirs, streams. I mean, there will be fish in these streams. It's a whole different world that we're looking at, that we can create today if we all work together with it. Local partnerships will be the method of choice. You know, go ahead there, Joseph.
Let me add two very interesting things. I like what you mentioned, and I want to support it definitely. I'm working on a special project in Fez in northeast Morocco. It's a royal town, actually, in Morocco, and they have 150 hectares to reforest and to create sports places and different other places for activities. And the other one, it's a 400 hectare area in Laayoune, in the southern part of Morocco, which is absolutely arid area, so they do not have enough water, plus the soil itself is very much salinated, and they will also make special parks for sports activity and like the Central Park itself. So it will be amazing to walk there and just feel ourselves very, very comfortable in the heart of the, let's say, in the heart of the desert.
Wow. You know, I just, being in real estate, I just got Dr. Steyer, you're in Morocco now. Being in real estate, you know, I thought about, a lot of developers and a lot of communities and projects like this, the state and local governments will give tax write-offs or bonds or different projects coming in. And just, there's so many ways, I wonder, that this could be structured to make it a no-brainer and make it easy in implementing the infrastructure of when you're saying you can take these areas and take the parks and put in the recreation. It just seems so much easier than it, you know, it's a matter of bringing everybody together. And
that's what World Alliance for Climate is all about. It's about the stakeholders. It's about the local participants. It's about the corporations. Everybody is going to be the winner because it's a creation that is transparent. It's tangible. The valuables that will be documented and reported will be all of our working together, you know, forward-looking gestures, not just gestures anymore. They will actually be
reality
participants. Yes, to the future, and it's historic. It's a historic thing. Just to think that you were a part of something this life-changing for many, many people. Not only it affects the United States, it affects Asia, it affects Brazil, it affects everybody. If we get
it
this
affects
forest
your future
in
generations
place,
and kids. Yes. Yes.
Yes. We get this forest in place. Can you imagine the value? I can't imagine the value hardly. But,
I get the chills. This gives me the chills.
The return on investment for the people working and the social market value on the returns for the companies working, cleaner air, water, the job creations, enhanced climate dynamics and stabilization. There's going to be local contributions protecting planted plots. You know, of course, you got to protect what you start. So those things will have to be created. Reduce storm intensities. Soil stabilizations, the flood control, planetary climate control and stabilization, you know, over time, you're talking hundreds of years to control a climate that's out of control right now. And the natural processes, equilibrium, there's so many benefits that's going to happen when the microclimates begin to self-regulate and carbon cycles and soil stabilizations come into play. We'll be making, producing food. We could actually create something that will feed 20 billion people in the future. You know, that's a lot of people. Go ahead.
Let me mention something I think very, very important. Perhaps all this program can bring closer together again the United States and the European Union or the other parts of the world. As we are focusing on the CO2 utilization as a fertilizer, so we will simply abolish a fundamental problem between the United States President and the COP 21, COP 22 people. So mm-hmm. I think this special diplomatic effect would be also very, very important to avoid misunderstanding, because all we are for the climate and for the earth mm-hmm. and not against each other at all.
Yes, beautiful. Yes, exactly.
Beautiful.
And to continue just a little bit on touching on the coal industry, it will have a new purpose as a fertilizer, coal as a fertilizer. We're not burning it anymore. We're actually using it as a natural source for a natural purpose to grow natural trees. nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, soil returns, there's so many benefits that's going to begin to start materializing that the food industry, recreational industry, wood industries, technical industries, all these industries will become players in this sort of social market. And Green Sahara Project will account for monetized terms, impacts, and benefits, return on investment. Social return on investment. The corporate return on investment, of course, we said earlier, would be 3-1. For every $1, you get $3 back. So it's a win-win there.
President Trump last week was talking about bringing in many jobs to the United States from out-of-the-country deals worked out with the coal mines. I think it's amazing with what you're doing and what you're saying, and it's there's so many issues, just like a lot of people in the U.S. were saying. I was for the coal mines, but there were a lot of people saying, no, it's not good for us, and you're showing how it is good for us. And there's so much knowledge here,
Natalie,
that if it gets out, people can see. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Natalie, please allow me to say that we both, James and me, we are for the coal mines. As he explained already, not only because it
me
is
too.
A... Okay, thank you so much. It is not because it can be a direct fertilizer, but also
right.
because those special power station. Heat power station are producing CO2, which can be conducted to the corn fields or to the forest, to the reforested area, or just transported like we transport now the liquefied natural gas from the United States to Japan, for example, or to Europe. So in the very, very near future, we can deliver this CO2 gas to Africa and just use it in our special forest very, very important thing. And let me mention something among the advantages, enormous advantages. One serious problem of the desertification is the overgrazing in Africa. All the African countries are suffering under this phenomenon. They have no enough feedstock to feed those animals. And consequently, those animals are taking out the last parts of the organic materials from the soil. Practically, this is also a serious part, just beside the global warming, of course. So if we could feed those animals with the leaves, with the protein-rich leaves of Polonia, for example, I did a research work here in Morocco, then we could save thousands of hectares from desertification. And as James said, with the irrigation, with the fresh water supply, we will be able to turn it, a part of it, not all, of course, but the big part of it, into forest, into active forest. And this will affect also migration. Europe is suffering and afraid of the African migration pressure, which is true because as the Sahara Desert is going toward the south, 50 kilometers approximately each year, it is pushing step by step 200 to 300 million people in the Guinea Gulf, in the Atlantic Ocean. Certainly, this is a very, very strong effect. It has a very strong effect on the migration. Consequently, the Green Sahara Project and the World Alliance for Climate together would generate so many progressive solutions. I should emphasize progressive one, because we are not against any solutions. We are on the scientific basis, as James several times mentioned it, we are analyzing and building in new puzzles, and finally we hope to get the desert green.
Yes, desert will be green.
It's fantastic.
I just wanted to kind of the benefits of the palonia tree. It regrows from a stump. Reforestation without replanting, that's a huge plus right there. It's an excellent phytoremediation. It's cleaner. You know, it pulls chemicals and metals and maybe radiation out of the soils. That it cleans up the soil, this tree. It's fast growing. More profits, more jobs, you know, faster turnover. You can use some of the section of the trees that had been planted years before, and they'll start growing back and, you know, have a cycle. We'd have to, of course, put regulations in. It's non-invasive, the tree. It grows in a wide range of climates. It's ideal for intercropping and soil stabilization. Riparian buffers, reduces CO2, produces oxygen, creates a microclimate. In 2 years, they grow up to 32 feet, 10-foot diameter, in 2 years. 7 years,
in 2 years,
you got
60
feet.
Goodness. Wow.
7 years, you have 60 feet, 28-inch diameter. And these are very straight-growing trees. I was so fascinated by the tree, I had to go over the benefits of it. And those are just some of the benefits of that tree.
And let's mention two more. Let's mention two more things. One for human health is that the Polonia tree, it's a very, very good honey producer. It gives 400 kilo nectars by hectare. This is one thing which is enormously important in Morocco, for example, because Morocco is a big importer of this commodity. This is one thing. The other we've been speaking about is the CO2 transformation. 1 hectare of Polonia in Africa could transform easily between 200 tons to 500 tons per hectare per year from CO2. But in case we use this CO2 fertilization method, which was labelized by COP22 in Marrakesh last year, in this case we could go up to 500 to almost 1,000 ton per hectare per year. This means that with 1/3 of the Sahara, we could easily consume a big part, or I would say the bigger part of the CO2 produced yearly. And this is something really great.
Very great.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, we talk about leverage and things, and it just sounds like such. If everybody collectively comes together, it just sounds like it's just so much can be done so well.
Well,
so, much easier
it's very
than,
important.
You know.
What? Yeah, it's very important, Natalie, what you are mentioning, actually, if everybody comes together, because we have around 7 billion people on the Earth, but it's growing very fast, especially here in Africa, when we have a growth of population 3% around. So very soon we will count 3 billion in Africa. So if everybody is just... helping as a donor with one US dollar, one single dollar,
wow.
the World Alliance for Climate, then there is no really big project which is unrealizable for us, I would say, because self-supporting systems, we will return, we will generate profit for everybody who is participating in the program.
For more information on it and also to donate, you would go to greensaharaproject.org, greensaharaproject.org. I tell you, it's amazing. It's so necessary. And you two, what you've done, it's brilliant. I mean, years and years and years of work you've put together to put this together. Amazing.
And another thing, Natalie, the drivers of the CO2 problem are we need more cropland, right? So we're cutting down forests, which are stabilizers. They stabilize the planet's cycles, CO2 cycles. So the biggest drivers of these problems are Asia and South America for right now. There are other places, but those are the biggest drivers. I was reading a report this morning. The most forest lost area, 4.9 million hectares per year, is Asia, coming out of Asia and South America. So until we regulate who can cut these forests down, we're running out of forests to cut. The square miles, in square miles, that is 18,919 square miles a year. So what my point is, when do we realize that we're doing harm to the health of our planet in the long run? When do we realize that we need to have a better mitigation point of attack, and that better mitigation point of attack, what will it entail? It's going to cost money. It's going to cost not as much as we think it's going to cost, because it'll begin to, like Dr. Joseph just said, it's going to have a huge return. World Alliance for Climate is all about that return, a win-win-win situation. We looked into how that would factor into creating something this big. And all the numbers are showing anyone who wants to get involved right now is going to be benefiting more ways than, say, thinking about having to reduce their CO2 output. See, that's what people are trying to tell them to do now. Oh, you have to reduce your CO2 output, your emissions. You're having a problem with that. But who can do that every day, see? So we're making it easy for people. We're making it easy for people to understand that don't do it that way. We create more force.
James.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Steyer.
Thank you so much. Please allow me to underline something very, very important in our mutual thinking or in our approach. It is the progressivity. So we are speaking and we are searching solutions, progressive solutions, which means we do not want to ban anything. We are not against something, but we are
right.
for the planet Earth. We are for the profit making for people and for participants. And finally, we are for the world better climate, which is increasing certainly our comfort and also certainly improves our health, general health. So this is which is very important, a progressive approach. Because up to now, what I've understood, all kind of, so to say, solutions was against something. But this is the first approach with the CO2 idea, with the watering, with the reforestation, when we are for the progressive and complex solution. These are the keywords we can really underline, and if somebody understood, then we can go
right.
very fast ahead.
Wow.
And, you know, I see a lot of apprehension out there. I can understand everybody who hears the C word, you know, is like, oh, that again? You know, but as far as the health of our planet, this is the most viable solution that we can go forward with as a world consortium. And the cooperations that will benefit the return on investment, businesses, philanthropists, impact investors, you know, private individuals, public sectors, government sectors.
Right.
Everybody who is somebody will benefit from this project, either tangibly or intangibly.
Absolutely. I could see so much. Oh, go ahead. I could just see so much many communities and people getting involved, even with the trees and the plants, and possibly other trees can be planted that are other medicinal uses. You know, food. So many things, and possibly where people come in with it, there could be other contributory efforts that are put in. My mind's going wild. So go ahead, Dr. Steyer. Sorry.
Allow me please to underline what we've been agreed on. Well, coal miners are our friends in this whole project, and I hope that after this special program, after the second radio show, they will contact James very soon,
yeah.
and give a hand to go ahead together. So
yeah.
because their interest is crystal clear, and since President Trump underlined it also,
yeah.
I hope that the United States will take part in this huge program. Yeah. One thing is sure, that when I analyzed a few years ago the Great Green Wall Initiative, which can be the southern limit of the Green Sahara Initiative, then I found out that the United States have been sponsoring very well with several hundred millions of dollars the Great Green Wall Initiative. So why shouldn't we refer to this positive and progressive initiative now with the carbon program,
yes.
and with the progressive climate mitigation?
You know, and what you just said, because I was all for the coal mines too. I'm just mentioning because of what I hear, you know, most of the things we hear about all these different programs and businesses is not. What, you know, because somebody doesn't have the whole picture and doesn't understand. So thank you for clarifying, and what you're bringing out is just such a win-win everywhere. That's why I mentioned it earlier. It's just amazing, and it's so if everybody gets involved, it's not that hard, is it?
No.
Everybody makes it a win-win and sees it. It really isn't. Just imagine, wow.
The industry, the coal industry, could have a new purpose. That's the thing. The new purpose,
yeah.
phasing out. They're phasing out the coal burning, and we're phasing in coal as a fertilizer, which is 100% bona fide. I have the paperwork right here that I got from the fellow, Dan, and he showed me that this is an absolute viable method, that it does work. 5.5 weeks, and you got 8 foot tall corn in sand now. This is in sand.
Really?
Wow. Corn grew that tall. So,
and Dr. Steyer
University
mentioned, yeah.
And yeah, so this is a
he
whole.
He mentioned the,
huge,
the heating use, you needing it also for the heating elements, right? You said, Dr. Steyer, you were talking about for the other uses as well.
Yes, and we can combine certainly those solutions. So beside using it as a soil stabilizer, we can use the CO2 also for irrigating the corn fields, because corn is also a C4 type. It has a C4 type photosynthesis, so it can consume much more CO2 than in the surrounding air. But I can mention also those sugar cane farms also where this fertilization is a possibility, and not only possibility, but as James said, is a must to sustain the fertility and to sustain the equilibrium of the soil.
What a blessing. Total blessing. Again, this is you're listening to Realty Universal. This is Natalie Mullenix, and this is Dr. Steyer and James B. Fowler with the Green Sahara Project. And for more information, you want to go to greensaharaproject.org. Please read everything and donate. You're just going to be amazed. Thank you so much for coming on again. And I tell you, I'm just so ready to move forward and do whatever.
Thank you
we can
so much,
do.
Natalie, and it was a great pleasure to be with you second time too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope we all meet.
I'll
soon.
Tell you, 3.6 million square miles of forest have been used up for feeding our planet. So now we have 2.4 million left out of the 6 million we started pre-industrial.
Wow.
We got 2.4 million square miles left. This is dwindling at 18,919 per year. Unless we get Asia and South America to, you know, say, okay, we can start something different, or our land grab is enough. We've got enough land. If we all start in with this other project, what's called Green Sahara, then we will have food production and all these things come online. We have to start thinking in these terms. If we don't begin to think in these terms, then we're going to lose the ability to correct for the CO2 indifference. Like I gave the example last time we were on, the cup of water and the drop of, you know, the impact of CO2, its dynamics. They may say there's a little bit of it in part of the atmosphere. And that's true. It's just a small part of the atmosphere, but it has a huge impact. And the impact, like I said, if you take a drop of dye and drop it into a cup of water, it changes the color of that water immediately, and you could see the change. Well, this is what's happening with CO2. In the atmosphere, when the molecule is so arranged that when the sunlight is bouncing back off of the land, it reflects it back to the land. So it's the blanket effect. And this is something that has been proven. It's not if, or we've got the science reports on it. I know everybody's busy, you know, and they can't read about
James,
all these studies.
James, just permit, please, to add something. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for ourselves, for our planet, and for our kids. So we have to use all sources. We have to join all forces, scientific possibilities and solutions to save the planet and to have a progressive climate mitigation. We work for that, and World Alliance is for that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's beautiful. We're coming to the end. I think it's going to cut us off, which I don't like to do that because I don't want to make sure we get everything. And thank you again. And for more information, you got greensaharaproject.org. Of course, contact us as well because we'll give you information. And the time is now, absolutely. To everybody out there, thank you guys. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.